Dear Father, thank you so much for the encouragement that you have brought to our hearts this afternoon, that we can watch, stand upon that watch, be in that watchtower, and that, Lord, you are fully in control of events, fully in control of our lives. And Lord, we just ask you that as we turn to your word now, would you by your Spirit open its pages to us, open the truths of the Lord, and reveal yourself to us in perhaps for some a new way, and for all of us a way that, Lord, where we need reminding, where we need encouragement, where we need reassurance, would you have your way as we consider something of this psalm this afternoon. Amen. So Psalm 23, let's read the whole thing, reading from the New King James. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, it was some months ago that I was last preaching, and I spoke on the first three verses of this psalm. And it's not a very original title, really. We were just looking at what it is to know the Lord in our experience. But what was, I think, different, the way I was taking it, and maybe came as something fresh for many, if not all of you, is my own conviction, and that of others as well, is that in these scriptures, in these verses in Psalm 23, we actually have the names of Jehovah that are recorded elsewhere for us in the Old Testament. And so my challenge to us then, and my challenge and encouragement to us all this afternoon, is that we can know the Lord in our circumstances. So in whatever way we need to know Jehovah, he can be those things to us. That he's not some far distant God who is disinterested in our affairs, who's somehow holding himself at arm's length. But he is a God who reveals himself to us in our circumstances and makes himself real in those circumstances. And so we looked at the first three verses. We got halfway through verse 3. And I trust as we go through the next bit of the psalm, I don't know how long we'll be able to, whether we'll get through the whole thing, I somehow doubt it. But I trust that as we go through the psalm, you'll pick up what I'm bringing to you. Just remember, please, which I didn't say last time, that the names of God are the names of Jehovah. And Jehovah means that he is the self-existent and eternal God. In your Bible, if you've got a decent version, it will be written with capital letters, L-O-R-D. And whenever you see that, it's Jehovah, the self-existent one. And of course, this is the name that God by which God reveals himself in Exodus 3, chapter 3 to Moses. And I suppose it means something like this: the I am who I am, but I think more correctly, I will be what I will be. Isn't that an encouragement to us? In days of such shaking and such uncertainty, God is unchanging, and he will be what he will be to us. And I think the amazing thing is, to me, is that, you know, God reveals himself differently to his people in the Old Testament in different ways, because their circumstances are different. They are different. Moses is different from Abraham, who's different from Isaiah, from Nehemiah. But friends, it seems to me that that what God is doing here in this psalm is saying to David, I can be, you know, everything that I have revealed myself to be through my word and to my people down through the years, I am making myself real to you. And so friends, for you and me, God can reveal himself to you. You can know him in your experience. It's not original, but I trust that at least something of the passion and the conviction with which I'm bringing it will affect something freshly in your heart. So, halfway through, we finished, but with he restores my soul. And this is Jehovah Rophi, the Lord my healer. And we looked at that in a fair bit of detail. And then the next bit of the psalm is this. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. There are a number of things here. Righteousness is given to us. That is to say, it is reckoned to us. The theological term is imputed to us through the gospel. As we commit ourselves to the Lord Jesus, he becomes our righteousness. And if you know the Lord this morning, this afternoon, you will know the Lord as your righteousness. But that has to be worked out in the life. That has to be evidenced in the life. And so the theological term is imparted. That which is imputed to us, i.e. reckoned to us, has now to become imparted to us. That is that it's got to be real. And this psalm is saying that the Lord can lead you in such a way that there is righteousness worked out in your life. Now, will you notice, please, I'm not going to repeat what I said last time, but this matter of God leading is referenced in verse 2, and there is a different Hebrew word there from that which is in verse 3. And so in verse 3, where it says, he leads me in those paths of righteousness, the idea is of God giving us direction. That's really it. It's God being with us, but it's more God moving us on with him and bringing a sense of direction to us. So let me give you some other scriptures that mention this particular word. So the servant of Abraham in Genesis 24, he says, I bowed my head and I worshipped the Lord. I bless the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has led me in the right way to take my master's brother to his son. Isn't it good, friends, that Abraham's servant, that was his testimony. It's David's testimony here, and it can be your testimony. You can know God leading you in the right way. Psalm 107, verse 7. He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Proverbs 4, verse 11, I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. Well, friends, there's something there for us, isn't there? You know, yes, God wants that righteousness to be worked out in the life. But will you notice, please, here, God's will for you is intrinsically right. God's plan for your life, and I suppose really all that I'm saying this afternoon is really kind of to do with God's purposes being worked out in our lives. So as God leads you, his way is right. It's intrinsically right. And so I want to encourage you, please don't go to the Lord and expect him to lead you in a way that suits you. That, you know, pleases you. He's not just your skivvy. He's not somebody who's just coming alongside you on your journey through life just to give you a bit of encouragement and as you decide what you want to do. No, he wants to lead you. That means he's taking the initiative and his will for you is right. So friends, remember the words of the Lord Jesus. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after... Oh, some of you are awake. Righteousness. for they shall be filled. So this is going to be worked out. If you're going to know the Lord as your righteousness, you need to hunger and thirst after it. So his will for you is intrinsically right. So you may be wondering, well, what is the name of the Lord that is being spoken of here? Well, you'll find it in Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 6. Jeremiah 23 and verse 6. And you'll also find it in chapter 33 and verse 16, but I won't read there, but you'll find exactly the same words there. Let's read from verse 5. Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. I long for that day, don't you? In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. And this name is given to the people of God here as a result of the rule of God that is being expressed. Because the king, Jesus, Yeshua, is going to be present there and reigning. And he's going to execute justice and righteousness, not only in Judah, in Israel, but also in the earth. And that is why Israel shall dwell safely. So friends, this can be your experience, but it's dependent on whether the Lord is going to be your king. Isn't it really? If the Lord is king of your life, he can lead you in paths of righteousness. So my challenge is really, make sure that you hunger and thirst after righteousness, but make sure that you're submitted to his kingship. Only then will you know that righteousness being worked out in your life. Only then will you know God bringing you into that city of habitation, the fulfillment of his purposes, and only then will you know safety and security. As I said, there's implied movement and direction. Remember how the people of God were led by the cloud and the pillar. The Lord led them in the cloud and in the fiery pillar. Is there direction in your life? Is the Lord leading you? Do you know that? Or are you static? Well, God forbid that any one of us should be just marking time. God wants to lead you. He wants to take you on. So at least one response from some of you anyway, God is speaking to you this afternoon, is go to the Lord and say, Lord, I may have messed up. There's much I don't understand, but Lord, I want to go on with you. I want you to lead me. And I want to be led in the right paths. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And then verse 4. Yes, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Knowing God's ways here in overcoming fear, because it goes on to say, I will fear no evil. And you remember what what David's testimony was in Psalm 91. If we abide in the shelter of the Most High, better not do it from memory, I think, in case I get it wrong. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. And friends, David's testimony really is that as he dwelt in that secret place of the Lord, he could declare that God was his refuge and fortress. He was trusting in the Lord. And therefore, it goes on in Psalm 91 to say, surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. He will cover you with his feathers. Under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You will not be afraid, etc. Does this mean to say that no troubles are going to happen to us? Of course not. But what it is saying here is that as you go through whatever valley, for which read difficult place, dark place, for which read even something of the presence of evil and the threat of being overwhelmed by the powers of darkness, whatever you go through, your testimony can be, I will fear no evil. Friends, this is how we're to know the Lord. And if you are somebody who is crippled, and I use that word, I appreciate our brother's testimony earlier on today. You know, when we do get bad news, none of us are perfect, we're all human. So I'm talking about an ongoing, continual fear of being overwhelmed by these things. That's what I'm talking about. You have to know God as the one who can be with you in this. So let me give you the name of the Lord, which I think this is talking about here. And it's Jehovah Elohe, which means Jehovah my God. Now I'll explain why I'm saying that in a minute. But will you notice, please, in this psalm, as in this name of Jehovah, it is intensely personal. The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me, he leads me, he restores my, he leads me, yea, though I will fear no evil, because Jehovah is my God. And so, friends, this is this personal testimony that each one of us can have. You don't need to rely on the testimony of another, the witness of another. You can know the Lord, whatever valley you may go through. And if you're not going through a valley at the moment, well, praise the Lord. Just wait. And remember this when you do. Okay. So, Jehovah Elohim. Now, these verses you will see, register them as I bring them to you. Many of them, if not all of them, are to do with escape from death. Which is why I'm saying to you, here is the name of the Lord that is hidden in this first part of verse 4. Psalm 7 begins, O Lord my God, and there is the phrase, in you do I put my trust, save me from all those who persecute me, and deliver me, lest he tear my soul like a lion, rending it in pieces while there is none to deliver. O Lord my God, there it is again, if I have done this, if there be iniquity in my hands, etc., let the enemy persecute my soul and take it, let him tread down my life upon the earth and lay my honour in the dust. Psalm 13 verse 3, consider and hear me, O Lord my God, lighten my eyes lest I sleep the sleep of death. Psalm 18 and verse 28, for you will light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. Isn't that an encouraging sign? Isn't that an encouraging verse? Well, I think it is. Graham was mentioning this fact about the lamp not going out. Friends, you can be like one of those wise virgins in the parable. Your lamp need not go out. The Lord can enlighten your darkness. And when you're not sure of the way through, make the Lord your God. Say, Lord, I'm looking to you to shine your light so that your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my paths. I will extol you, Psalm 30, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and has not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord my God, there it is, I cried to you and you have healed me. O Lord, you brought up my soul from the grave. You have kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. I could go on, and for the sake of the recording, I would at least give the references. Psalm 35 and verse 24, Psalm 38 and verse 15, Psalm 109 verse 26, and Psalm 86 and verse 12. And let me finish with this. I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify your name forevermore, for great is your mercy toward me, and you have delivered my soul from the lowest hell. Hallelujah. Friends, God has done this for those who are his people. Is the Lord your God? If he's delivered you from the lowest hell through the death of the Lord Jesus at Calvary, is he not able to bring you through the valley of the shadow of death? And your testimony can be, I will fear no evil. Why? Because the Lord is my God. For you are with me, the psalm goes on to say. What name is this talking about here? Well, Ezekiel chapter 48 and verse 35 gives the name of the city of God at the end of this prophecy. Last verse in the book of Ezekiel. Having given all the measurements, it says, the name of the city from that day shall be the Lord is there. That's the name of the city where God dwells. The Lord is there. Jehovah Shammah. I will fear no evil because you are with me. Ezekiel 48 is to do with the corporate aspect of this, because God, the New Jerusalem, is going to be the place where God is going to dwell. But in Psalm 23, which is to do with our experience now, more relevant for our experience now, this is to do with the personal. I will fear no evil, for you are with me, because you know Jehovah Shammah. Don't assume that, will you? There used to be, I don't know, just occasionally I catch wind of it from various people, the kind of an evangelical assumption, you know, that if we are Christians, that God is with me. I think that's a gross assumption. And you say, well, what about the end of Matthew 28? Doesn't it say, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age? Yes, it does say that. But will you please notice, it said to those that the Lord is commissioning to go and preach the gospel. You can't just simply take that scripture to yourself and say, therefore, the Lord is with me. You can't do that. And I'm saying that because there are those that the Lord in scripture says, I am with you. But there are a few people that he says, I'm not with you. And there's one, which I will mention in a minute, that the Lord says, I am with you as long as you are with me. Now, what's the difference? Why did the Lord say to Joshua, I am with you wherever you go? And he did not say that to King Asa. I remember that I've mentioned this before, but I think it's so important I'm going to mention it again. In 2 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 2, that is where you will find the Lord's statement to King Asa. The Spirit of God came upon Azariah the son of Oded. He went out to meet Asa, and he said to him, hear you me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. So it's not just King Asa, it's all the people of God here. All Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him. Why does the Lord say one thing to Joshua and another thing to Asa and the people of God here? I will tell you why. Because the hearts of the people are different. And so he goes on to say, if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. There is no better antidote to this temptation to move away from the presence of God. than to seek God with all your heart. There is a scripture in Jeremiah that promises this. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Marvellous. But friends, how many of us do it? And I say that as much to myself as to anybody else. At least take some time out. There's a particular issue that concerns you. There's a particular matter that weighs upon your heart. If there's a major decision that you have to make, don't just address it in the context of a 5-minute prayer time in the morning before you have your breakfast. Take some time out to seek God about it. And time doesn't permit me to kind of enlarge on or explain how you might do that, but initially take some time. Sit in the presence of God or go out for a walk and pour your heart out to the Lord. Read the scriptures a little bit more, but tell the Lord you want to reach out and find him. And the marvellous thing is, if the Lord sees your heart like that, he will say, he will give you this testimony. You are with him. And you can say that to the Lord. And whatever issue you're working through, you will know God being with you in it. But you need to seek for the Lord to be with you in it. That's really what I'm saying. So, is the Lord with you? Pose the question. Of course, if you are deliberately disobeying the Lord, he's not with you. Don't expect blessing. Necessarily. Take the warning and take the encouragement. Ensure that this is your testimony. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is with me. I will fear no evil. And I suppose really what I'm saying is that for us all is we need to make sure we don't do any uncommanded work. It's easy as Christians to kind of just do what we think is the right thing and assume that God will be with us in it. No. It's not how it works. We need to ask the Lord, Lord, what are the good works that you have prepared for me to walk in before? Bless you. Moving on. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And I think this is probably where we finish here today. Your rod and your staff. Let's just consider the Lord's rod and his staff. First of all, the rod in scripture is a symbol of authority. It was a long stick, I suppose to use that word, staff. In the scripture it is used for punishment, for discipline, for fighting, but particularly for rulership. It was a symbol of authority. So, in Psalm 45, if you're in Psalm 23 still, just go forward to Psalm 45 and verse 6. And you will find there, speaking of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus. Why do I say that? Because it's picked up in the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 1. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. And it's there it is. It's the word for scepter. It's translated as scepter. And it's the same word that is translated as scepter in Genesis. I beg your pardon. Genesis chapter 49 and verse 10. If I remember rightly, let me give it to you. Let me read it to you. The scepter shall not depart from Judah. Speaking of prophetically of the rule of the Lord Jesus. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from beneath his feet until Shiloh come. So there it is. His rod is a symbol of his authority. And of course the marvellous thing is when Moses' rod is put down on the ground, and it's Moses' rod, and God tells him to throw it on the ground, and he sees the snake in it, it becomes a snake, and then God says, take it by the tail, from that moment on, It becomes the rod of God. And that is the most extraordinary thing, I think. And then there's the staff. This is also a stick, but it's used differently. This is a support of any kind. It can be a walking stick. It's essentially something that you lean on. It provides protection. It provides sustenance, even. So, to give you an example, Exodus chapter 21 and verse 19. Again, for the sake of the tape, I'm just going to give the references, but we won't turn to them all. But I'm just going to read Exodus chapter 21 and verse 19. If he rise again and he walk abroad on his staff, there it is, then he that smote him shall quit. It's talking about, this is the Levitical law, about how to handle somebody who has been injured in physical conflict. And if he sustained an injury, he needs a staff with which to walk, staff on which to lean. Jacob, in his old age, leant on his staff. Friends, what do you lean on? What do you trust in? What provides your sustenance? What provides your protection? I leave the question with you. Let me give you the other references. Numbers 21, verse 18. The staff is used for digging wells. 2 Kings 18 and verse 21, staff for leaning on. Zechariah 8, verse 4, for support because of old age. Well, what is the name of Jehovah that's being talked about here? I want to suggest to you that it's Jehovah Elyon. E-L-E-Y-O-N. Why do I say that? Because this name means Jehovah the Most High. So this is the name of God that speaks of his exalted position. Here is the one, here is the king with the scepter. Here is the one with the rod. Here is the one who's able to bring you that comfort. Here are a selection of verses from the Psalms that speak of Jehovah Elyon. Psalm 7 again, and verse 17. I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Psalm 47 and verse 2. For the Lord Most High is terrible. Awesome. He is a great king over all the earth. Genesis 14 verse 22. Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I've lifted up my hand to the Lord the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. Psalm 21 and verse 7, the king trusts in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High, he shall not be moved. Friends, you and I can know the Lord as Jehovah Elyon, the Lord Most High. And if we do, there is a comfort in that, by which I mean that there is a rest. I mean, isn't it glorious to know that the Lord is in charge? Isn't it? Yes. I mean, that is the reason for the rest. And it's good for you to know that the Lord is in charge of your circumstances, your life. And as you allow the Lord to exercise his rod, you need to submit to that rulership. Bless you. As you submit to that rulership, and as you allow that staff to support you, and as you lean on the Lord for his support, you will know his comfort. And if that means that you need to confess things to the Lord and get right with the Lord, you can know his forgiveness. And that in its sense, that as well, will bring you an ease, or bring you a rest, because you know that the Lord has forgiven you. Well, I didn't think we'd get through. I think that's probably where we will leave it to today. But I leave you with a challenge. Do you know the Lord's leading you into his purposes? Leading you in those paths of righteousness, Jehovah Tsidkenu. leading you even though you may go through the valley of the shadow of death. That you can say, the Lord is my God. That you can know the Lord with you, whatever you go through, Jehovah Shema. And that you know the Lord's rod and his staff, because he is Jehovah Elion, the Lord Most High. Shall we pray, please? Dear Father, it's such an encouragement to us that David knew you in all these ways. That this was his testimony, is recorded in the psalm. And we want to praise you that in whatever way you want us to know you in our experience, to have a testimony, we can do that. Lord, please continue your dealings with us, we pray. May we be faithful in seeking you. May we be faithful in cooperating with you. Bring us into all of your purposes, we pray. Through whatever difficulties and darkness we may go through, whatever uncertainties we may go through, thank you that you are our God. You are my God. Blessed be your name. Amen. Amen.